Please welcome back with us, back home at Unity of New York, Reverend Cynthia Alice Anderson.
Hey, girl. All right. They put me on a timer in Orlando. I don't have a timer. That's the way you do it in New York, huh? What are you going to do? Good morning, everyone. My name is Reverend Cynthia Alice Anderson, and my mission is to invoke soul evolution in the masses. I believe that as souls, we have something divine here to do. And I think each one of us are waking up to that idea. I also think in our world right now, we're seeing amazing healing if we have the right eyes to see it. I think that what is happening in our world right now is everything unlike enlightenment is coming up. Can I have an amen on that point? And so, because we see this stuff and we say, now, what is that? That's what we say down south, that. What is that that's coming up to be healed? I believe right now in our world, racism is being healed. I absolutely believe it. And I believe right now in our world, sexual abuse and sexual assault is being healed. That's what I believe is happening. I believe people are finally waking up to the fact that they are divine beings, and the word no is a complete sentence. Amen? So what we're here to do today is to be reminded of the power of our very own souls and how we can do the work of our soul to become this light in the world that we're speaking of. The light of the menorah, the light of the Christ, is all the same light. It is the light of our very souls. Each of us has a divine purpose, and I think all of us, if I said, do you believe you have a purpose? You say, absolutely. Raise your hand if you think you have a purpose. Right, you have a purpose. And then you say, but how do I do it? What do I do? Has anybody ever had that thought also? It's like, now I know I'm here for something. I just wish somebody would tell me what it is. Well, we all ultimately know our purpose is to what? It's to express the divine in us. We know that. But it looks different for each one of us. And so it's easy to get off track because there's a lot of things trying to get our attention in the world today. For instance, we are more plugged in today than ever before. Would everybody agree with that? So everything always has our attention. It's like ADD is to a whole new level. We never have conversations without constant interrupt. So there is a specific law I want to talk to you about today. I have a new book out, and I'm already in the third printing, so this is super exciting for me. It's called The Seven Spiritual Laws of Release. And we go through each seven different laws, and the first have already been spoken of today. The first is the law of giving. The second is the law of service. And the law I'm going to talk about today, I have never, ever heard another spiritual teacher, leader, or speaker speak about. Because this law, the name of this law came to me in meditation, and the law is called the law of minimization. The law of minimization. Will you say that with me? The law of minimization. So by the name of the law, you might think you know what it means. When I was writing the book, my process was very prayer and meditation centered because I had a deadline. Has anybody ever had a deadline and suddenly it sped everything up for you? Luckily, my partner went out of town and my son was in school all day because I was writing all day long while they were gone. So every day I would wake up and do my process around my writing. And one day in my meditative practice, I got this idea floated in, the law of minimization. And I thought, I don't know what that is, but I'm going to write it down. It feels divine. I don't even know what it is. And so I sat with it for a few days, and my partner finally said, did you look it up? I said, look what up? The law of minimization. I said, well, so we Google everything now, right? So I said, I'll Google it. So there's a law in agriculture called the law of minimum, and it taught me a very important spiritual lesson. What I realized as I read the law of minimum is that a friend had taught me about the law of minimum months before when we were outside trimming our family rose bush. This friend, it turns out, is a rose expert. And she taught me that as you, that in nature, if you had a rose bush that was just in nature, it would grow stalks and leaves first, and it would never bloom. It just constantly grows leaves and stalks because that's just what a rose bush does. It wants to make the bud, but unless it's trimmed back, it can't make the bud. It can't grow because all the energy is going everywhere else. Are you starting to follow me? So as I thought about my rose bush and I thought about my spiritual path, I said, I think this law might relate. The law of minimum in the plant world might relate to my spiritual world, in that I have so many things in the outer that are getting my attention that the purpose I'm supposed to live, I can't live because everything else is getting all my energy. I've got things in my spiritual world that I don't need anymore. I have things that hold old memories. I have practices that are worn out because I've outgrown them. But I continue to do them, and because I continue to do them, the new growth that is available to me from my very own soul cannot come forth and let me bloom. So it's requiring a very deep process of me. Because my soul wants to grow and evolve. I know it does. Don't you believe that for yourself? Your soul wants to grow and evolve. You want to experience more of the good God has for you. So that's what I realized as I started applying this law in nature to my very own life. That growth is my natural state. But as long as my energy is going everywhere else rather than my purpose, I will never grow and mature into the beautiful rose I'm supposed to be. So, it's a spiritual discipline to begin to look at where your energy goes. What things are you holding on to in the outer world? What are the ways in which you are wasting your energy with talking to certain people who don't support your purpose? As a matter of fact, might be running contrary to what you're trying to do. What are the aspects of your physical world? The old jewelry, the old clothes, the old things, the old practices, the old beliefs about yourself. Can I have an amen that need to be released? Because as we release those things from our lives, all of this energy is freed up. So what I noticed as I started practicing this law with my little tiny rose garden in Orlando is that every time I'm snipping away, all that enormous energy goes up the stalk and into the rose. That's what we want for our own lives. Amen? So you might say, this is a funny time of year to be talking about this because it's Christmas and we're all getting things right now. That's true. But there may be things that you're receiving that need to go right back out. Have you ever thought of that? We lovingly call that re-gifting. It goes right back out. It might help you organize your time during the holidays when so much is grabbing your energy. You have to do this, you have to do that, you have to go here, go there. You might say, what is important for me today in this moment? It might actually save you a lot of hassle if you begin to become more conscious in your holiday planning and running around. Wouldn't it be wonderful to make one trip instead of three or four? Yes, it would. So how does this relate to the holiday season? Well, Jesus was born to bring light into the world, right? To remind us of the light that is within every human being. The scripture tells us the light comes into the world, right, is in each one of us. In the holiday season, there's so much focused in the outer, but I think we've forgotten metaphysically what some of these things represent. The red that we see every Christmas, the red is not the red of passion, but it's the red of compassion. The green that we see on our Christmas trees and on the holly, that is the green of new life. The sparkle is the light of your own soul. So when we go out and about and when we're decorating our homes and our apartments, whatever, let's look at those things and remember, that's the light in me. Look at somebody right now and say, that's the light in you. Tell them. Look the other way. Tell them, too. They need it on the other side, too. That's the light in you. So what if you knew, as a soul, that you were the only one that could bring your purpose to the world? What I've noticed is a pattern in the people that I serve and in my very own life. When I look outside of me and I see things I don't like, I wonder, why isn't someone doing something? Have you thought that before? Guess who that someone is? Yeah. Why isn't someone doing something? So it's time to be on purpose. It's time to live our purpose. Say with me, it's time to live my purpose. Together, it's time to live my purpose. It's time to live my purpose. So we want to begin to do deeper work of the soul. So what am I meaning, deeper work of the soul? What am I meaning? Who can tell me what deeper work of the soul is? I know you guys know. What is one thing you can do? You know, that's always the first answer. We love you for that. That's right. Meditation is wonderful. What else? Yes. What else? What's that? Action steps. Exactly. You have to take action. So we go in to prayer and meditation so that we align ourselves with God, because we remember, right, we're not trying to convince somebody up in the sky of anything. We're trying to do what? Align ourselves with the truth from the inside out, right? So then we can walk into that purpose. So, yes, it's very important that you begin working on releasing the things that no longer serve you. I release the things that no longer serve me. Say that with me. I release the things that no longer serve me. So it's going to require you to look at some things. And I'm going to give you a kind of a funny example that we talked about in my congregation. We were all laughing about it, especially because everybody in my class and in the church said we all do it. In our closets at home, we have thin clothes and we have fat clothes. And then we have clothes we actually wear. Is that true? And then we have pretty shoes that don't fit us. Right? And so we go through this thing every morning when we're getting ready. We look at these things and we say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I ever got into that. Does anybody ever do that? And then we say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was that big. And then we squeeze into something else in between, kind of, right? So what if you started releasing those things out of your world so that you started your day without this kind of weird emotional angst about just getting ready in the morning? Wouldn't that be cool? If you just went into your closet and everything fit you and you wore it. You know what would be cool about this law if you started really practicing it? Everybody would have enough because you wouldn't be holding on to things you no longer needed. Doesn't that sound like a good idea? How about in relationships? Here's what we do. We hold on, and ladies are the worst at this. I'm sorry, ladies. To old rings with big stones in them. Because sometime, somewhere, years before, we were engaged. And we hold on to those things. And guess what? As long as you're holding on to that, you can't what? Move into the relationship that's designed for you right now. Because you're stuck in the past. I say sell the ring, get the money. Do something with it. What can I say? I grew up, my dad was a jeweler. You know, jewelry comes and goes. Yeah, so what else, though, are you holding on to? And then the more subtle work becomes with our thoughts and with our beliefs. What are the kind of friends that we're associating with? And sometimes it's even family members where we have to set limits. We have to set appropriate boundaries so we're not getting into conversations that are pulling us way down. Everybody knows what I mean by that, right? Amen? Right? So there might need to be some release of relationship of things that are no longer supporting your growth and evolution as a soul. So we also need to, besides releasing, need to look at our holy desires. And I'm saying holy desires because a lot of self-help people, I kind of have an issue with some of these self-help people. They always say, just get what you want and all of that. Well, now, if you're an alcoholic and I say, get what you want, that'd be to go get a drink. And I don't think that's really a sacred holy desire. That's a desire of the lower nature, right? We have agreement on that, right? But there are these soul desires that want to come through. It's just, I just want to go, you have a soul desire that wants to come through. And those soul desires are what leading us forward into our evolution as a soul. Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, said, desire is the onward impulse of the ever-evolving soul. The onward impulse of the ever-evolving soul, your desire. So your desire is a clue into what your purpose is. Something you've always loved to do, something you've always desired to do, something when you have time, you say, oh, I just want to do this. Luckily, what I'm doing right now is my desire and my purpose. I'm doing it right this second. I can't tell you how good that feels to stand in front of you and say, my mission is to invoke soul evolution in the masses, and I am a full-time speaker and minister and presenter of spiritual topics. Right here, right now, I am living my purpose. Amen? But I want that for all of us. I want that for all of us. So we have to start getting conscious about what our desires might be and how those desires are moving us forward. And my good friend, you guys know Edwin Gaines, don't you? Yeah. I love it. I love me some Edwin. Now, is she fabulous or what? One of my favorite things she says that really informs my spiritual process is, how is none of my business. God knows how. Because what happens when we start to get a little more in touch with what our desires might be, all of the reasons we cannot do it start coming up, don't they? And it's often about money and time, right? All right, well, you remember that law I was mentioning before? You actually have all the time and all the money that you need. Your priorities are just a little off right now. Okay. Now, in church in the South, somebody says something like that, you say, okay. Yeah. Make it plain, we say. Right? So what is that desire that's wanting to be nurtured in you? What is that aspect of you that's wanting to grow and expand in consciousness? And I tell you what happens is you start to move forward, and this happens all the time. So I have to speak about this. When we have this desire, so holy desire, we want to do something, we want to make a difference in the world, we want the world to be better, we want our lives to matter, and we start to move forward on the thing we want to do, and something exactly unlike it comes up. Raise your hand if that happens. You say, I want to be more loving. And then something comes up, we go, ooh, what is that? And you want to hate it. Right. That's right. You know why that happens? Because everything comes up to be healed. Everything unlike what your holy desire is comes up to be healed. It's not a test from God, let me just say. It's the universe saying, how are you going to choose? You say you want to grow, you say you want to become enlightened, and we've all said it in some form or another, we would not be sitting here in unity. We said there's something more that my life is about. There's something more than this religiosity that I grew up in. There's got to be something open and spiritual that I'm supposed to do. I want to be enlightened. I want to live from my soul. We've all said something like that. And then something unlike it, we say, oh, well, you know, maybe my guidance was off. When in fact, that's just the time to look at what's really happening, become very conscious, and move through. That is the time your soul grows the most. It's when this opportunity for healing comes up and you can look at it and you can see what is really happening. I've had several situations come up for me recently. The first one I did not recognize, but the next two I got them. The first one I got, triggered. I got hooked. You know what I mean when I say I got hooked? Something came my way, and boy, it touched an old wound, and I was ready to go. And I could finally see. It took a couple days to around that. But then I finally got clear. And then the next two things happened, and it only took a few minutes. I said, I see what that is. I see. And I had to get really clear. Nothing can be taken from me. Everything is on purpose from God, right? So my desires are still moving me forward. My desires are still moving me forward. So when that starts to happen, when I start to move forward on my journey and something unlike what I'm expecting, you know, comes up, even though you'd think by now I'd be expecting it, right? So we start to learn that this is part of the curriculum, that where, however we're headed, something unlike it comes up for healing, right? So our soul can move forward. So we want to remind ourselves the meditation and the prayer that you all talked about. We do those practices to recenter, and sometimes I just listen to music. I've got a couple of playlists I've created for myself that bring me right back to center, that just remind me of the truth of who I am, why I'm in the world, and I can recenter and say, you know what, how I'm going to do this next stage in my development, how I'm going to live into this dream, I don't know, but I know God knows how. So sometimes I have to remind myself, I'm having a lot of different feelings at the same time, but you know what? God's got me. I'm all right. God's got me. So for each one of us, each one of you in this very room, when you're quiet and when no one's around and you're alone and you allow your desires to be there for you in consciousness, this is your soul. This is what matters most. It is not how old you are or how young you are or what you look like or what your orientation is or where you're from or your race or even your political affiliation. You are a soul that wants to grow and expand in consciousness. The light that was in Jesus the Christ is present in you. So my hope, my desire for you is the same as it is for me, that we will continue to do this work of prayer, of meditation, of realignment, of releasing those things that no longer serve us, and then live into those soul desires like never before, because the world needs our light like never before. So will you join me for a word of prayer? So God, as we pray, we bless each of the souls here, knowing each one is a powerful soul with a gift to give the world. Thank you for each of these souls and the way they continue to love, to live, and to work with one another in unity, remembering the truth, the very truth that sets us free, that the very living presence of the Christ lives and breathes in, through, and as each one of us. For our time together to worship and to celebrate, we are grateful, we are blessed. And together we say, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. We're going to say it three times together. Thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. Of meditation and prayer, of contemplation and quiet. So I invite you just to take a few deep breaths and become centered right where you are. Remembering that wherever you are, God is. And see if you can let a breath, just let it all go. Just so right now, there's nothing you're trying to be or do. You're becoming still. You're becoming open. You are becoming receptive. There is no effort. There is only being the true light, the true soul that you are. Remember, as you breathe and as you rest, you are resting in unconditional love, in pure light, pure love. That the very nature of the Christ is present in you. The light of God coming into the world is known in and through you. as you breathe and become still, relax into the light that you are, remembering, I am love, I am light. The very nature of the Christ lives in me. I am a soul on purpose, shining my light. As you remember this goodness, that this is your real self, that this is who you really are, I invite you just to rest a few moments. Rest in this light. If your mind wanders, just bring it back to the truth. I am light. I am love. My soul is on purpose. If your ego fights it, say, I don't have to know how. God knows how. How is none of my business. I rest in light. I rest in my soul. Now from this place of light and love, I invite you just to think about places in the world, people in your life in need of prayer. Feel free to speak those places, those names aloud now, so you release any anxiety or worry so that you can be fully present to live your own passion and purpose in the world. Knowing God knows every need, every desire of our hearts, we release these names into the light. Remembering it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Thank you, God, for your light, for your love, in, through, and as each one of us. Thank you for all of our master teachers who have shown us the way. Thank you especially for those on the journey when we start to move forward that appear to be blocks and are nothing but signposts of us moving forward and evolving into the soul we were designed to be. Thank you for the gift of Unity of New York as leaders, as members, as band, as singers, spiritus, all the ways, as prayer chaplains, all the ways that your spirit is at work in this ministry. We honor it, we acknowledge it, and we call it good, and we call it God. So for our time of prayer and meditation, we are grateful, we are blessed. Remembering it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom, we say thank you, God, and so it is. Amen.